When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. The stories for this episode are spooky and may have moments that are not suitable for younger listeners. These are family-friendly tales. However, if you are responsible for tender ears, you might want to listen first, or forge ahead and enjoy the chills. The big black book that had been left behind by the creepy girl in the mirror had been sitting on my entry table for a few weeks. Every time I sat down to investigate it, I found a reason to leave it there one more day. It was heavy and smelled like cheap blue cheese dressing. But this evening was different. The front door was open, and the early autumn breezes were curling through the house. Perhaps it was the open door, but when I walked by, the book was open, and I saw it was a ledger. Lists of names and numbers, notes written in scrawling and looping flourishes. I turned to the first page and saw the title of the book was The Book of Life. Little heavy-handed, I thought. Turning slowly through the pages, the notes seemed to list more names, and I paused when I saw my sister and her husband's name listed. I looked next to the names and saw a staggering dollar amount and their child's name. But there was an additional name. Could it have been the future child they would have? Well, it at least implied they would have money and live comfortably. There was a column that listed naughty and nice. I honestly must say I held my breath a bit until I saw they were both well into the nice category. One more category seemed to list overdue library fines. They did have a few. Strange that that would matter in the afterlife. I took a deep breath and began looking for my name. The first teller for this episode is Priscilla Howe. Based in Kansas, Priscilla performs at schools, libraries, festivals, and special events. Her mouthy hand puppets come along to shows for young children, and she tells more grown-up stories too to, well, grown-ups and older kids. Sometimes the autumn days can get lonely, but be careful what you wish for. This is a story from her CD, The Ghost with One Black Eye and Other Stories, and this is the tale, Bone and Bean.
A little old woman had just made soup with a bone and a bean and a pinch of salt. She sat by her fire, and still she sat, and still she rocked, and still she wished for company. She'd made a lot of soup, and there was no one to share it with. And the door opened wide with a bang, clatter, bang, and in walked clomp, 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 two giant, bony, bare feet. The old woman looked at them. She said, who are you and what do you want here? The door slammed shut and the feet didn't answer. So the old woman stood up and stirred that soup with a bone and a bean and a pinch of salt. She sat back down, and still she sat, and still she rocked, and still she wished for company. And the door opened wide with a bang, clatter, bang, and in walked two tall, thin legs. Trot, trot, trot. And they climbed on top of those bony, bare feet. Those legs were in raggedy black trousers. The old woman looked at them. She said, who are you and what do you want here? The door slammed shut and the legs didn't answer. The old woman stood up and she stirred that soup with a bone and a bean and a pinch of salt. She sat back down and still she sat and still she rocked and still she wished for company. The door opened wide with a bang, clatter, bang, and in rolled, ba-dum, 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 a huge fat body. In a raggedy black suit, and it bounced, boing, right up on top of those two tall, thin legs, which were on top of those enormous, bony feet. The old woman looked at them. She said, who are you, and what do you want here? The door slammed shut, but the body didn't answer. The old woman stood up and she stirred that soup with a bone and a bean and a pinch of salt. She sat back down and still she sat and still she rocked and still she wished for company. The door opened wide with a bang, clatter, bang, and in crawled two long arms with long bony hands and bony fingers on them. And they crawled, crawled, crawled up on top of that body. The old woman said, who are you and what do you want here? The door slammed shut and the arms and hands didn't answer. The old woman, the body didn't answer either. And neither did the legs and neither did the feet. The old woman stood up and she stirred that soup with a bone and a bean and a pinch of salt. And she sat back down and still she sat and still she rocked and still she wished for company. The door opened wide with a bang, clatter, bang, and in hopped, bunk, 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 a head. It had hairy ears. It had red eyes. It was drooling and grinning at her, a big ugly grin. And she said, who are you and what do you want here? And that monster said, I came for your bones. So she reached for the soup and passed that pot of soup to the monster. He reached right in, pulled out the bone, and said, thanks. Then he turned around and took that hot soup bone out into the cold night. And that old woman did not get up to stir the soup again. She did not sit back down. She did not rock. And she did not wish for company. Instead, she went to bed.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Enchanted Mattresses. Are you ready to sleep like you are under a spell? Sleep like you have wandered into the poppy field outside Emerald City? Then consider purchasing a mattress from Enchanted Mattresses. Don't worry about prospective mother-in-laws putting legumes under your bed. And rest easy for as long as you are under enchantment without worrying about getting sore. This mattress is intuitive and adjusts to your needs, getting soft as cotton candy or hard as a stone slab according to your preference. This mattress has wildly generous reviews from the most well-known sleeping celebrities, Snow White, Rip Van Winkle, and of course the sleepiest of all sleepers, Sleeping Beauty. Try the mattress that will give you the best rest you could yearn for. And we understand if you fake an enchantment to stay in bed a little longer. There is a new review for the podcast, and while I'm going to read it to you, I must say that the best part about it is the emojis. There are a lot of emojis that happen inside of this review, so if you'd like to see it, jump onto Apple Podcasts and find it. It's by Evie and Giraffe via Apple Podcasts, which is a 5-star review, thank you, and says, "Hi, I love your podcast. It is probably one of my favorite podcasts. I love all the episodes, but the creepy ones are my favorite. I listen to them when I go to bed. I think it's a 10 out of 10, so keep up the great work. Amazing from Evie in Australia." Evie, thank you so much for your great review, all the emojis, and the feedback. We're so glad that you enjoy the creepy episodes because they are coming out all month. Turning the pages slowly, my eyes scanned for my own name in the list of names. What would I see when I got there? Would I see who I would marry? Would I see the future children I might have? Was I mostly naughty or nice? Then I heard the sound of a throat clearing. I looked up. The room was empty. Looking at the book again, I saw I just needed to turn the page and my name should be at the very top. I licked my fingers and felt the soft paper under my fingertips, slowly turning the page, but paused. There was that sound again. Was someone here? I turned and looked out my door, and in the reflection of the glass I saw behind me was the Victorian girl who had dropped the book at the French bistro. "Who knew the Angel of Death preferred to look like an old china doll?" She whispered, "Give it back." I closed the book and, without turning around, handed it back to her. I could feel her take it from my hands and the chill from her fingertips that crept across the book and onto my skin. I could feel her take it from my hands and the chill from her fingertips. I could feel her take it from my hands and the chill from her fingertips crept across the book and froze my skin. She turned to leave. I called back. Can you give me a hint? Even just a small one. She turned back and considered me. Her gaze sent goosebumps and regret crawling up my back. She stepped closer, and I felt so tense, I started to get a Charlie horse in my calf. In my ear, she whispered, "You owe 456 in library fines. Don't let that linger. You'll regret it in the end." Then a breeze blew past me, and when I spun around, the room was empty, and the black book was gone. The second teller for this episode is new to the podcast, but not new to storytelling. Judith Heinemann is a storyteller, producer, and teacher who has been selected as the Illinois Humanities Council Rhodes Scholar and an Illinois Arts Tour and Residency Artist. Judith has created programs for numerous museums, festivals, and schools, and has appeared at the Chicago Humanities Festival. She tells a wide range of stories adapted for all ages, while Dan Marcotte enhances the experience by adding music and song. For more than 12 years, Judith and Dan have been performing for audiences both locally and internationally. This is a story from their CD, Grimm's Grimmest, The Darker Side of Fairy Tales, and is the tale of the real story of Sleeping Beauty.
If you think Sleeping Beauty, or Briar Rose as she was called, was awakened from her 100-year slumber by Prince Charming's kiss, and they lived happily ever after, you are sadly mistaken. For this is the real story of Sleeping Beauty. Upon her birth, she was visited by several fairy godmothers. One fairy godmother was not invited because she had not been heard from for so long, but she decided to come to the feast anyway. When the fairies bestowed their gifts upon Briar Rose, the old crone bestowed a curse instead. When the child reaches her 15th birthday, she shall prick her finger on a spindle and die. But one fairy, who heard the old crone muttering, hid behind a curtain, and when her turn came, said, "Nay, nay, she shall not die, but deep in slumber she shall lie. 100 years hence she'll be kissed by a prince, and happily ever after will live." All of this came to pass, but it was only the beginning. Briar Rose and Prince Charming were married at once, but he had to keep his marriage a secret. You see, his mother was not all human. She was an ogress who liked to eat young children. You may think that mothers-in-law and ogresses are synonymous, but in this case, it is the literal truth. So the prince had to keep his marriage a secret. Every few days, he would disappear into the wood. His mother was suspicious and tried to follow him, but she always lost his trail. When his father, a simpler and more gullible man, questioned his frequent absences, the prince explained that he needed rest away from the troubles of the castle and had met a hermit in the woods with whom he stayed. It came to pass that the prince's father died, and he had to assume his kingly role. At last, he was forced to reveal his secret to his mother. Not only was he married, but he also had 2 children, Dawn and Day. He presented them to his mother. She embraced them with great affection, holding them a bit too tightly. Soon a war began in a neighboring kingdom, and the prince had to leave home to defend his lands. "Mother, I must go to battle. My wife and children are in your care. When I return, however long that may be, I trust that they will be as happy and healthy as they are today." He leaned closer and whispered, "Mother, you must control your ogress appetites." After kissing his wife and children, he galloped off. The queen tried to control her cravings. She was successful for a time, but then the urges began. She could not escape the desire to eat one of her sweet, tender grandchildren. The words swirled in her head and gave her no peace. "Flesh, flesh, flesh." She needed to eat flesh. She summoned the cook and said to him, "Cook, cook, get my grandchild Dawn and prepare her for my dinner." The cook shuddered, but knew he had no choice. "Madam, how shall I prepare her?" "In a nice white sauce." So that night, the cook sharpened his knife so the kill would be swift and merciful. At midnight, he crept up the stairs to Dawn's room. He opened the door to her chamber and raised the knife, about to plunge it into her innocent chest, when the child woke up, flung her arms around the cook's neck, and said, "Oh, cook, cook, have you come to play with me? It's the middle of the night." The cook dropped his knife. It clattered to the floor. He scooped Dawn up into his arms and took her to his home in the woods. "Oh, wife," he said, "what shall we do? The queen has ordered me to cook Dawn for her supper." "And how does she want you to prepare it?" his wife asked. "In a nice white sauce." "Well, substitute a suckling pig instead. In your white sauce, she'll never know the difference." And that's just what he did.
The ogre's stomach growled and groaned. She needed to eat flesh. She looked at Dawn and licked her lips and put the cook to the test. She told the cook to cook her up in a sauce so nice and white. Instead, he cooked a suckling pig and hid young Dawn from sight. Oh, munch and a crunch on the bones and flesh. munch on the meat so fresh. Eat a child in a nice white sauce. Let's all show those kids who's boss.
The queen devoured the little pig, thinking it was her granddaughter, Dawn, and it gave her great pleasure. She licked her fingers and wiped the grease on her dress so she would have a little taste for later. She sucked the bones dry, and for a time she was satisfied. 3 months went by, but then the craving started again, and she couldn't stop the voice in her head. Flesh, flesh, flesh. She needed to eat flesh. Cook, the queen called. Now I'd like to eat my grandson. Day for dinner.
And madam, how shall I prepare him?
In a fine green sauce. That night, the cook crept up the stairs to Day's room, sharpening his knife along the way. He opened the door to his chambers and stood before him with his blade at his tender throat. But the child woke up and said, "Oh, cook! Cook, have you come to play with me? It's the middle of the night." The cook dropped his knife. It clattered to the floor. He scooped Day up into his arms and carried him to his home in the woods. "Oh, wife," he said, "what shall we do? The queen has ordered me to cook Day for her supper." "And how does she want you to prepare the dish this time?" "In a fine green sauce." "Well, prepare this little lamb instead. She will never know the difference." And that's just what he did.
The ogre's stomach growled and groaned. She needed more flesh. She looked at Day and licked her lips and gave the cook no rest. She told the cook to cook him up in a sauce so fine and green. Instead, he cooked a little lamb, tender, soft, and lean. Oh, munch and a crunch on the bones and flesh. Crunch and crunch on the meat so fresh. Eat a child in a fine green sauce. Let's all show those kids who's boss.
The queen devoured the little lamb. It was so tender. The flesh melted off the bones. She licked her fingers and sucked the bones dry, smearing the front of her dress with the excess grease. She was satisfied, thinking it was her grandson Day, and her ogress appetite was suppressed for a few months. But then the cravings began again. She couldn't help herself. She heard the voices in her head screaming, "Flesh, flesh, flesh!" She needed to eat flesh. One night, the queen went wandering about the castle looking for a stray servant child to eat, but none was to be found. And then she thought of her daughter-in-law, Briar Rose. What a tasty meal she would make. The next day she summoned the cook. "Cook," she commanded, "now I would like to eat my daughter-in-law." "Madam, how shall I prepare her?" "In a sauce well spiced." So that night, the cook climbed the stairs to Briar Rose's chamber. He sharpened his knife along the way, so that the kill would be clean and quick. When he opened her door, she opened her collar, baring her neck, and cried, "Oh, cook, cook, kill me too, so that I may be reunited with my children." "Shh, my lady, you shall be with your children soon, but not how you think. Your children are alive. They are with my wife in our cottage in the woods. I will take you to them." As soon as Briar Rose saw her children, she kissed their faces and hugged them to her. Oh, how happy Dawn and Day were to see their mother again. "But what shall we do now?" the cook asked his wife. "The queen has ordered me to cook Briar Rose for her supper." "And how does she want her prepared?" "In a sauce well spiced," the cook's wife said. "Use a young deer instead. The flesh will be a little tougher to match the age of the princess's skin, and it will be about the right size. She will never know the difference." And that's just what he did.
The ogre's stomach growled and groaned. She needed something more. She looked around and there she saw her tasty daughter-in-law. She told the cook to cook her up in a sauce well spiced. Instead he cooked a
doe,
a deer,
a female deer,
and served it up with rice. All munch and a crunch on the bones and flesh, munch and crunch on the meat so fresh. Eat a daughter-in-law well spiced, eat your daughter-in-law with rice.
The queen devoured the deer in moments, enjoying this meal even more than the others, thinking it was her daughter-in-law, Briar Rose. Cook, this is delicious! She licked her fingers and sucked the bones dry, and had lots of grease to wipe upon her breast for tasty tiny morsels to savor for days afterward. For about 6 months, she was satisfied. But then the cravings began again. The voice in her head wouldn't let her alone. Flesh, flesh, flesh! She needed to eat flesh. She searched for a child to eat, but none could be found. Her madness drove her into the woods. She wandered further than she had ever gone before. She heard the sounds of children. What? Is that a child laughing? Is that a child crying? Is that a mother talking to them? She stormed into the cook's cottage and was filled with rage. Cook, you have betrayed me. All of you will die tomorrow. My children, my daughter-in-law, you, cook, and your wife, do not try to escape. My soldiers will find you. Prepare the cauldron, the queen ordered. And the next day, a great cauldron was set up in the center of the courtyard of the castle, filled with vipers and scorpions, poisonous toads, and all manner of flesh-eating creatures. She marched the cook, his wife, Briar Rose, dawn and day to the edge of the boiling pot. She was about to push them all in and have them eaten alive by the vipers, the poisonous toads, and the flesh-eating creatures, when all of a sudden she heard hoofbeats. Her son, the prince, thundered into the courtyard upon his horse. He took one look at his family tied up at the edge of the cauldron, and one look at his mother, and drew his sword. There was no mercy in the prince's eyes. The ogress knew her fate would be terrible, that she would be punished for her wicked appetites. Without a word, the queen threw herself headlong into the deadly cauldron. She was devoured in an instant by the writhing, snapping, flesh-eating creatures. The prince was sad for a moment. After all, she was his very own mother. Then he took his wife, Briar Rose, his sleeping beauty, into his arms and kissed her again. He embraced and kissed his children, and it is now, only now, that they all lived happily ever after.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Priscilla Howe and Judith Heinemann on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can connect with the podcast or me on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. There you can see the fairy tale sponsors. And while you are there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story seed from Laura Packer. You can find her lovely story and writing prompts by looking her up on social media. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron or joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies or writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You will hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal